Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we learn the halachas that relate to burial and the halachas of cemeteries. This is Simon Kuf, Tzadi Tes, 199 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to look at five concepts today. Concept number one is rules for burial. Number two is the placement of graves. Number three is ritual, the rituals that follow the burial. Number four is moving a body. And then five is behavior in cemeteries. Let's start at the very top, rules for burial. So what does the Torah mean when it requires burial? How is it fulfilled? So the Torah mandates that a person who has passed away be buried in the ground, in the earth itself as well. This is very important. This is an important concept for the notion of Tchias HaMesim, a resurrection of the dead. Generally speaking, mainstream Jewish thought, philosophy, Machshava, understands that the body will be reunited with the soul. So the soul gets cleansed, the body gets cleansed, and then for Olam Haba, they are reunited in such a state. That's the general understanding, as the Ramban expresses in the Shaar HaGemul, where he talks about these very important concepts. That we know that the soul will return to the Creator, the body returns to the land. The land is essentially the basis of all carbon-based life forms, and so this is the way it's supposed to do. And therefore, we have to be very careful to try to, if we know people who are considering cremation, God forbid, it's very important to have a conversation with them in their lifetimes before they end to discuss this and the importance of having burial. Now, let's talk about this. What about coffins? You know, in many, many countries, including the USA, legally a person needs to be buried in a coffin. They're not buried in the ground directly. How does this work? So usually you'll notice that in Jewish coffins and caskets, which are very simple, they're not these, you know, ornate, very expensive, you know, beautiful coffins. They're very simple wooden boxes. They often have holes or at the bottom, or some coffins even have just two slats with the center being open, so that ultimately the body is going to be resting or connected to the ground itself. In some communities, people are buried. General regular people are buried without a coffin. The Kohanim and the Levim are buried in coffins. In Israel, the minhag today is that people are buried. Everybody is buried in the ground without a coffin, and except for soldiers that Rav Gorin instituted with the burial of soldiers, they should be buried in coffins. So if you notice that when there's a soldier's funeral, God forbid, you see that they carry a coffin. That's because a lot of times soldiers aren't necessarily able to be buried with all the limbs there, and it's as a sort of sign of respect, it's unilateral that it's going to be all of them. If available, though, even in Chutz Aretz, when people are buried, they try to take a little bit of the earth from the land of Israel, the Afar Eretz Israel, that's placed by on top of the body, by the eyes, mouths, hands, and the bris milah for a man. And this is relating to the idea of Chiper Ad Masoy Amoy, that the ground itself will atone for its nation. So even if that one's being buried in the sand of Chutz Aretz, there is still an attachment to the Afar, the sand of the land of Israel. What if there is no coffin in the land of Israel, as an example? Aren't we just throwing dirt onto the body? Isn't that disrespectful? So the truth is that the way it's done in Israel, and even in places that are buried directly in the ground, is that there's boards placed on the side and then a board above the body, so that when one's putting the earth in, it's not falling directly on the person themselves to avoid that concern. So although they're resting on the ground, but there's stones or cinder blocks on either side, and then a shaft above them or cement pieces that prevent the dirt falling directly onto the coffin or onto the body itself. What should be done with the leftover wood from the coffin construction? So because it was designated to make a coffin, it's asur bahana, cannot be got benefit from. The only thing you can use it for is to use it as the remnant boards as fuel for the fire, which is going to be used to heat the water for doing the tahara, for the purification process of bodies. Otherwise, it cannot be used. What special burial practice is recommended for people who are good people, giving people, people who have always hosted other people? So the Kitzur quotes a very beautiful minhag, that is that people would take the dining room table of very, very benevolent people, make that dining room table into a coffin. We're not talking about the tens of thousands of dollar dining room tables of our luxurious generation. We're talking about basic boards that rested on, you know, on a few legs or a centerpiece, and that was the dining room table. They would take that board and make it into the coffin, and it was based on the pasuk is v'holach nafonecha tzidkecha, your righteousness should go in front of you, and the righteousness is that they shared the table. Their table wasn't just to be an ornate adornment and something which was supposed to be seen by others, but it was where the poor and the impoverished and the lonely ate, and so that becomes the actual material used for their coffin, their ark. How is the body positioned in the graves? The body always is lying on its back, facing upwards. What is the halacha of what uncircumcised infant dies, God forbid? So we know that they are circumcised at the grave and given a name, and a female should also be named. He says the Chevra Kedusha should know this. It's very important because then that becomes the name that they're known by afterwards when referred to as well. We move to our second concept, that is placement of graves. What are the halachas about burying two people near each other? So two people cannot be buried close to right next to each other. They need to be separated by a self-standing wall of at least 6 finger breadths thick, about a tefach, about 3.5 inches. Although 6 tefachim is preferable, so it's better to have 6 of those units. However, a parent and a minor child or grandchild may be buried together, but not with an adult child unless they're buried at the same time. So these are complicated halachas, and in situations, especially in Europe, where burial ground that the Jews were given access to was very limited, they had to think about these ideas. So they were making gaps between sideways, and also how many people are buried together. What is the rule regarding stacking coffins? 2 coffins may not be placed on top of each other unless there's a 6 tefach gap of earth between the two of them. And this becomes a situation where the Jews only had very limited space, and they would bury in stacks. And even in Israel today, the solutions are being sought because of running out of grounds for cemeteries. And so there's making mounds and burying in the mounds with gaps of 6 tefachim is what's being created in such situations. And this is the necessary. And this is certainly more luxurious than it was in Europe, where they actually filled up the cemeteries. There wasn't place to do them. There was discussions about filling more ground on top of them. These are discussions that were had because of the complexities. What are the rules about who can be buried next to whom? So we know that a wicked person should not be buried next to a righteous person, and even a lesser Rasha should not be buried next to a greater Rasha. And similarly, people who hated each other should not be buried next to each other. So these are complicated halachas. And just one interesting expression of this is Eliezer ben Yehuda, who was one of the founders of the modern Hebrew language, was a person who was not Shomer Torah Mitzvos, but he insisted on being buried in his family burial ground on Har HaZeitim. Har HaZeitim is a place where there are many righteous people, and so the Chevra Kedusha came to an agreement where there's actually a fence around his grave to separate the areas between him and the other people perhaps around him who were Shomer Shabbos as well. This is to be seen. In fact, in burial societies, the way it works in America, if you go to a cemetery, the cemetery doesn't own all the plots. The cemetery has divvied up the rights to different burial chevras, different societies. So every block has got various societies in it, and each society has its own rules, which means to say is when you buy into a certain society, you're buying to be buried among people of that society. So people who are Shomer Shabbos will buy in a Shomer Shabbos society, not just randomly. And each society is actually, sometimes you'll see societies not only do they have their own gateways to get into the society, but they also sometimes have fences around them. For this concern is that making sure that the right groups of people are buried together over here. This is not about being exclusionist, but spiritually it's important that people who were Shomer Torah Mitzvos are buried with people who are Shomer Torah Mitzvos. People who perhaps weren't will be buried in their own sections as well, and there's many such societies as well. But this is important just to understand that there is such a thing. There is a notion you'll see in different societies about men and women being buried together. Many societies are completely defined with men and wives, husband and wives being buried together, but some societies are the men and women in separate sections. Each society has its own preferences. That seems to be one of the Hasidic sections. Now we move into the next topic, which is rituals following the burial. What is the custom regarding taking shovels or holding the shovels during the burial? So it's customary not to take the shovel or pickaxe directly from another person. The one should just place it down, and the other person picks it up. There is a custom that the mitzvah, the bier, upon which the mace was the deceased was laid, is turned over 3 times after the burial. Why is this? So the Kitzur points out that the numerical value of the word mitzvah, which is a bed, equals din, which is judgment, and symbolizes a plea for mercy and overturning the mourning into joy. And so this is why it's done. And this is not done on a day when tachanun is omitted, because that's not a day of strict judgment. What should the orphaned child's son do after the burial? So at that point in time, they take a few steps backwards to be 7 feet or a four amos from the kever. They say Tehillim Mem Tes, which is 49 Amatzeach, and then Shemul Zois Kol Haaretz, and then they say Kaddish. This is a special day when there's Tachanun is said. It's what's called Kaddish De'Ischarito, which is a long Kaddish which talks about the resurrection of the dead and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name being united in this world. This is what's done at the end. What does one do before leaving the when there is a tachanun which is omitted, then it's one says michtam la David, which is Tehillim 16, and then the regular kaddish is said. What does one do before leaving the grave? So generally speaking, when one's in the cemetery and one leaves the graves, grass is plucked and thrown over one's back, symbolizing the resurrection of the beast. Based on the pasuk, and we also refer to Zachor ki afar anachna, Hashem, please remember us that we're all our dust. And this is a sort of a plea to Hashem in action. What about hand washing? So when one leaves the cemetery, one washes one's hands from a vessel, not just from a river, and one does it three on each hand. One should not pass the vessel from one person to another. One does not dry hands after this. One just shakes them off as well. Are there any other practices? So some of the practices: sit down seven times, or at least three times, and say the pasuk "V'hinu Am Hashem Elokeinu" those three times. This is to ward off perhaps destructive spirits, which are found to be in cemeteries as well. Even on Yom Tov Chol HaMoed, this may be done, and one should not enter one's house before washing, certainly, and if one has the practice of sitting as well beforehand. Move to our fourth concept, and that is moving a body. Is it permitted to move a body from one city to another for burial? So let's say they live in, you know, village A, and they want them to be buried in village B. So if there's a cemetery in village A, one is not allowed to leave the village and go to another village, because this is seen as degrading those who are buried there. There are exceptions which are made. So for instance, if the village B is in Israel, so one's moving from Chutz La'aretz, the diaspora, to Israel, one is allowed to suspend burial to go to be buried there. Or if, let's say, there's family plots in another place, or the deceased specifically requested, then there's not considered a degradation. But if there's no plans, it's not Israel, there was no request, then it's not appropriate to go to a different burial plot. Well, let's fast forward. What happens if a person was buried in a specific grave, and now you want to reinter them in another grave? Is this allowed? So generally speaking, once it's been covered up, once the grave has been covered, it cannot be opened. There are seven instances which are discussed in Halacha in which it may be done. That one is reinterring to be buried near family, right? Even if the cemetery is less respectable, to be buried in Eretz Israel is number two. Number three is the deceased was interred temporarily. So for instance, in COVID or during the war, when there was no possibility of being buried in the place they wanted to be buried. If we were worried that non-Jews will destroy or disrespect the grave. Number five is if the grave was dug without permission of the owner, so it's placed in a private property and the owners did not give permission. Number six is if the grave was harming the public, so it was placed in a public thoroughfare, now Kohanim can't walk there. And number seven is if a Jew is buried next to non-Jews, which is inappropriate, then there can be reinterring. But a shaila needs to be asked in these situations, because it's a complicated process. May a dug grave be left open overnight? So the Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid suggests this is not a good idea. It's a spiritual danger for those in the city, because it's indicating that somebody's going to be filling it soon. So graves should always be covered up. We move into our fifth and last topic, and that is behavior in cemeteries. Can one step on graves? So one is not allowed to step on graves, not just because it's disrespectful, but one is not allowed to benefit from a niftar. And by stepping on their graves, it's like benefiting from them as well. And this is allowed if it's the only way to reach another grave. So if, let's say, it's a very crowded grave, a graveyard, and one needs to bury somebody, and the only way to get there is to step on one of the surrounding eight kfarim, then yes, one is allowed to step and ask mechila afterwards. May one wear tefillin or tzitzis in the cemetery? No, this is called loeg larosh, where it mocks those who have passed, who are not able to do mitzvahs at this point in time. May one say tehillim in a cemetery, so only if it's in honor of the dead, then it's allowed. What kind of things are not allowed in a cemetery? So one's not allowed to eat, drink, relieve oneself, one can not graze one's animals, one's not allowed to harvest vegetation. So if one's in a cemetery and one sees a fruit tree, one cannot take off the fruit and eat it, unless if the tree is not growing over the graves, it's allowed. When must the tombstone be erected? When is the matzeva set? So he quotes the halacha that many how the community has waited 12 months since the tombstone is a form of honor, and within the first year, the deceased is still going through a process of din. Another reason for 12 months is that's when the message Nishtakach Min Alev, that a certain level of forgetfulness is granted to us, and therefore we avoid a monument to avoid that. He does create that quote that a number of people don't go by this policy, and in generally speaking, in Halacha, like the Sfaradim are more makpid to do it around Shloshim, around the end of the Shloshim, for similar reasons, but one should follow one's family practice, and if one does not have a practice, one should go for the 12-month, the marker, which is the appropriate time to set up the matzeva, if all is else is equal. Have a wonderful